Welcome to episode 349 of Coffee Pods and Wads. Beyond the Whiteboard have come on as sponsor of the show. You can go to btwb.com/allinone. You can find out how a decade of dedication to the community has built trust and technology to help you improve your offering to your clients. Or you can just use Beyond the Whiteboard as the premier workout tracker app. Thing either. You can go to lskd.co and you can use CPW LSKD for a discount down there to get yourself some new clothes. You can go to join.whoop.com/CPW if you want to get a whoop and support the show. If you order a whoop, you get a discounted whoop strap. No, you get a free strap, a free month, and a discount on your membership. And I get $40, I think, if you do it. So if two of you do it, that's $80, I guess. You can go to sentineltraining.fitter.training. And you can join a free trial of Sentinel Training. We had some on-site training with Taylor and Bryson in Miami for Wodapalooza, and it was really good. Like, hard, but it was really good. Just a different level from training at home, but it showed to me in the few sessions that I did the knowledge that Taylor has and the eye that he has is just up there with the very best. So you can search Sentinel Training, or you can go to sentineltraining.fitter.training to have a look on there as well. Frog Rips sponsored many of the athletes and many of the teams that were at Wodapalooza, and the grips were on show everywhere. They really are next level. I used them in one of the workouts for Sentinel. No chalk, hot, like wet, sticky bars and everything. No issue. Absolutely perfect. You can go to froggrips.com to check them out. If you're on the island of Ireland and you want to service your gym equipment or order some new gym equipment or just get some stuff for your house or yourself, you can go to d8fitness.com. And GoWad, who basically paid my way from Miami, you can go to GoWad.app, or you can download the app in the App Store or the Play Store, and you can find out where your weaknesses are with your mobility, and they have an endless array of movements for you to improve them. Or, you know, you can just do what I do and ignore it. There now follows two live shows from Wodapalooza. The first is with Team GoWad. The audio is frankly not great. I've done my best to fix it up. It was a live show and just didn't quite hit the ground running with the old technology. I've done my best to tidy it up. We'll see how it goes. And then after Justin Medeiros, Jay Crouch and Willie George got Joshua Alshama. The audio is much better for that one, so there shouldn't be any issues there.
All right, we're live, I think. If anyone's in the comments there, you can tell me that everything sounds amazing or it sounds terrible. Team GoWad, how did this happen? Evo's brain child, or what are you guys?
Hear me?
Yep.
We were supposed to head out to Australia for Down Under Championship, and then I wasn't able to make it, but Tebow said we should, like, all get together for a team, but that wasn't able to happen. I was like, I want to do Wodapalooza, no idea who to do it. Jason asked me to do it, and I was like, hell no. And so we had to put together a good team, so reach out to these guys, and now we're going to do it. So,
And there's a nice, so far, a friendly rivalry between your team. You guys, Alan and Jason, they're both GoWad athletes.
Yeah, Dallin's a good dude.
Oh, okay. So, sometimes it's not what you say, it's what you don't say. That really matters. All right, Jay, and you came over, when did you arrive here?
I got in Miami on Sunday.
Sunday?
Yeah, so I've been out there for a bit. Okay. A bit longer than last year, which is good.
And are you going to, like, Nashville or anywhere after this?
No, it's summer at home, so I'll be getting straight home on Monday, and back to it.
Billy, you never met. I'm curious to hear, so I've been told that you feel like your English isn't very good.
My English is so deep. I can understand,
Who said that? So, I'm going to football team. He's like, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
Exactly.
And she's like, nah, his English is good. I'm the second year on the team with Willie, and we haven't had a problem yet. So.
It's the same. He was the same when I talked to him. He's like, oh, I'm not sure about my English. And then as soon as you talk to him, you're like, man. Your English is perfect. So, Willie, what is your story with last year you put up that you're finished, that you're retiring? And then there's kind of a season, maybe team has been on the horizon. Is that happening? Or?
Yes, last year I just decided to put up my individual career. I have also got outside my training. I have I work a lot now in the spring with 2 hours a day, and I feel really good. I want to go team. I like the team, and it's a good occasion. Yeah, and the team it's pretty nice. So again,
what is it about your water polo? Is it just like it seems like especially team time? I mean, like almost. Obviously, like when you walk onto the competition floor, there's still that thing of like, I don't want to mess it up and I want to perform my best, etc. The inner competitor comes out, but it seems like there is a bit of a relaxed vibe. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I actually haven't competed on the team before. I competed at Wadapalooza for 4 years, from 2016 to 2019, but never done anything like team. But I think a lot of the athletes, like, this is kind of not the kickoff of the season, but the season's just kind of like right around the corner, get out, compete, have some fun with it before the season kind of like really gets on the way, you know?
And is that why you wouldn't go individual here then? You'd rather put that out to, like, you don't need that kind of litmus test on your own guess you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's exactly why. There's more I didn't do teams because I really wanted to, or I didn't do individual because I really wanted to try a team. Just kind of, nothing like I've never done it before. I've competed here on an individual, never done it on team, and this is kind of like the year to do it. So,
yeah.
Just wanted to make sure, like, I took a little bit more of an off season than I have in the past because I didn't do road, but want to make sure that I was super healthy for the season. I feel great right now. Thought it'd be fun to throw down with the boys.
Yeah. Dave, when are you planning on going to that team? Obviously, like, I feel like if I was in your position, I'd be like, I want to go to that team and like see what it's like.
Yeah, oh, for sure. What they're doing there is pretty crazy. I mean, there's some stuff in the works now. Might get there before semi-finals. But we'll see. Otherwise, the plan will be to come over early, probably after semi-finals, and have a big prep for the game.
Do you feel any different now, January 2024, than you did in January 2023, where, like, previously there was maybe expectation from yourself or like goals from yourself, but now there's probably going to be a weight of expectations from outside of like, well, shit, he did really well last year, but this year he has to do even better than that.
Yeah, and for sure, like you want to get better each year, like naturally. So, massive, like, night and day difference how I feel coming into this year Wadapalooza compared to last. I think last year's Wadapalooza sort of that like relaxed vibe you're talking about gave me like a realization of not putting the guys around me on like that pedestal and like that I can run with them and all that sort of thing. So in that aspect, it's been really good.
Have you watched any of the behind the scenes from Anya?
I haven't actually.
There's a lot of the bike race is the one that came out like say yesterday or Monday or whatever. And there's a lot of talk about you and that surprising people of, I think it was Belder and a few other people were like, Jay was up there and like, well, I didn't really know what to expect from him. I was kind of pleasantly surprised that he kept up with us. Is that kind of, do you feel like you have maybe another year of that, another year of surprising people and like, you know, doing better than people maybe expected to do in certain workouts?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I don't feel like I surprised myself last year. It was sort of just like, all right, this is where we're at now, like that's where I'm at, sort of building that confidence. And I feel like with starting that one, built like a lot of momentum for the whole weekend too, which is a big thing. I always remind myself that I'm still only like 24 too. I've sort of always been like that late bloomer in school and stuff. So I hope that it's just the start of something cool.
Did your teachers call you a late bloomer, or are you calling yourself?
I was just always smaller than everyone at school
I was going to say, as a teacher, late bloomer is cold. That's a code we use. It's like we say, oh, he's a real character. It's like, he's not enjoyable to have in the bathroom. Willie, your programming and gym, is it WYS, or do you say it like with Yeah, insurance to say with. Wait, okay, what does that stand for?
My gym. I also my programming, and I'm grateful for a lot of working with me today. We try to build something really strong in France, and I think we try to be strong and really continue to work with you.
And what are your plans now, say, after Waterloo? What, like, the next year?
We are waiting a baby with my wife. So,
oh, wow, congrats.
Normally, during the open, between open and quad finals. So, I don't know what I would able to do. But, yeah, it's going to be a good year. And I really want to with a good team next year.
Will that be a win team? Or?
No. With other athletes. So we are discussing now for the next season, and we want to try to build this concrete that normally is 20-25.
And they'll be the French athletes?
No French athletes.
No?
No.
And then, okay, so if you have a baby coming, you're not going anywhere, so that means people are coming to France.
Yeah, but next year in 2025, it will be
easier for me to ask my wife. No, it doesn't work like that, man. It doesn't work like that. That change happens when they're 18, not when they're 1. From experience, I mean, I still don't know how I'm here now. Like, from experience, it does not work like that.
I hope my wife will not.
Yeah, yeah. Or she might listen and feel pity, be like, I'll prove him wrong. I'll let him go. Yeah, yeah. Justin, there's something I want to ask you about. So, historically, in the sport of CrossFit, there's been a male champion for a long time, and then a male champion for a long time. Ben Smith was like the outlier kind of in between there. And then when you won, and then when you won again, there was kind of an assumption there that, like, oh, here we go. This is another, like, dominant male athlete has been around for a long time. Does that off and that off that hasn't been since frustrate you, does it annoy you? Do you pay attention to what people are saying of, like, say there was the conversation last year was, oh, he's underperformed and, like, what's wrong and what's missing or what's not going right? Like, do you pay attention to that kind of stuff? That's what they do.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you say that you don't listen to it, but everyone hears it, you know, and I think it's kind of like how you use that talk to school you. Like, I love that talk, you know, like, I love what everyone's saying this off season. Like, every time you're kind of in the workout, in the gym, you remember that for sure and use it as motivation. I think that's an important thing. Like, you can listen to the talk as long as it fuels you, but if you're listening to it and you think that they're right, that's when it starts to kind of, start to get trouble. But, like, we're in sport, we're in competition, you know, I mean, things happen. I mean, every single year I'm trying to change up my training, trying to be better, trying to, like, push myself to be the best athlete I can be. And sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't, you know, and I think last year, definitely learned a lot, but I 100% know what I'm capable of. And I'm just so pumped to get back out in the competition floor.
And from the games last year, was it just like a stuttering start?
Yeah, I mean, I think, like, there's bad events that happen. I mean, I've had bad events before, and you can come back from them, and I think there's obviously, the obvious things of the slow start, first two events, probably my worst two events that I've ever had at the CrossFit Games, but I think there's just a lot of things that kind of compounded, but every athlete's dealing with. You can talk to any games athlete. There's bumps, there's bruises, there's injuries, there's bad events. I mean, look at Pat. I mean, he tends to always start out in last place and then ends up on the podium. So it wasn't just the bad start. I mean, there's a lot of things that I could have done a lot better throughout the whole season. And I think I've definitely learned from that. And I think that's, like, the important thing, you know?
Jay, Maddie didn't at the games last year, her plan to compete,
yeah, and like with the big change off of us moving to Proven and stuff, like she's that change has excited her too. So yeah, she's definitely, like, last years prior to, she's definitely going okay then.
And then the kind of two sides to that. So on one hand, I feel like, would that be frustrating that now you're not the sole focus of the competition, to you, that she's not like a Sherpa hanging around at the games carrying stuff? But then on the other side, it's like, now you've got a training partner who supports you and you can return.
Yeah, I mean, even when she wasn't qualifying, I was always pretty proud of her, the way she handled herself and didn't let it affect me in any way. She was sort of like straight away just sort of let it go and supported me. And she was training with me like right up to the games. It's always good for athletes just to get that different sort of style of training too. But yeah, I was thinking about that the other day actually, like if she did qualify this year, like I'm going to have to find someone to replace like her help.
Yeah, you need a third wheel.
Yeah. Which, yeah, because it's, obviously, yeah, the support you have is a big thing of doing well there. So, yeah, I suppose we'll wait and see. And I was, in an ideal world, yeah, hopefully I do have to find someone else to do my place.
Well, if Willie's wife has to leave, he could.
I hope.
Yeah, he'd do a job carrying the
bag. Come hold my bag.
Willie, you put up a video the other day of, what was it, 100?
Bad idea.
What was it?
100? Well, just an idea we had with my friends. And, I was like, okay, let's do 100 snatch at 225 or 220. It's 225 pounds. And we did it the day of Christmas, at the end of the day, after the food.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, he said 100 snatches, for those of you that didn't understand. Thank you. 225 pounds. Power snatches.
After his Christmas day. So
ridiculous.
Like, yeah. I mean, on Christmas Day, I'm kind of like, oh, cool. I made it off the couch. This is a win. After dinner, a year ago, and doing that. Those kind of things, like social media and stuff, is obviously a pressure to, more so on these guys maybe than on you. If you said, like, oh, I'm kind of like finished as an individual competing and stuff, there's less pressure for that. But you're still representing your coaching and your gym and that kind of stuff. Do you feel a need to kind of stay relevant and stuff like that and just do like that?
Yes, because I really like to train. So training is like always the best part of my day. And I keep training 2 times a day. Like I said, now the training is not the most, maybe it's the moment of the day I have the most pressure to train well and doing things for my training. Now it's just okay, I'm trying to run my business and my thing. So, like, I'm really fitter than the past year. I don't know why, but works like that. So I have less pressure and I train really well. I have no injuries and I feel really good. I'm like, okay. I can't compete this year, but yes, I really want to keep competing. But I hope next year and
you do anything like say something to the powerlifting people you would ever do? Like,
he did one.
You did one?
Like 2 weeks before me.
Oh,
he just smashed all my numbers.
He stole your thunder.
I did one because of my friend again. And yes, it was really nice. Super new score and with new standards. And yeah, it's a good thing. And I really want to do that again in the next year. Do another powerlifting system. Maybe in
maybe a weightlifting event.
Yeah, maybe a weightlifting event.
Just do 100 per time.
Yeah, exactly. I would ask.
Everyone just has to wait. Well, I've heard the powerlifting meets is a lot of like hanging around and waiting. Was that a long day?
It was a long night. The event started at 5 p.m. So like at the start of the flight. So I lifted it.
The opposite of a CrossFit event.
Oh my gosh! I lifted it 6. Like 8:45 and like 10:30,
wow.
And I had fuse before the first lift, a rain before the next one, and I think another rain before the last lift.
What day of the week was this?
Sunday.
So you went to sleep on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, it was ridiculous. And you got like I got selected for random drug testing at like 11:30 at night. Oh yeah, super random. There's two of us that were selected at the powerlifting meet, and then CrossFit called me that morning before the powerlifting meet and said I got randomly selected also for drug testing. So I got...
Are you able to use both?
Like no. I got drug tested at like midnight for the powerlifting meet and then at like 9 a.m. the next morning for CrossFit.
I love the idea of the CrossFit. I'd be like, I mean, I've never seen this much caffeine in a book.
Yeah, I know. But yeah, it was cool. So I got 2 drug tests in like 12 hours.
And how do you feel it went? Like, were you happy with it?
Oh, I was super happy. I mean, I had one missed lift. I made my opening attempt deadlift. My second attempt, I pulled 600 and I made the lift CrossFit standard, but they have to give you a down signal. And I stood up and I started to go down and he didn't say down yet. So I stood back up and then he said down and I set it down. So that lift got a red light. So it didn't count.
Sounds like you're standing up on a hop.
I know. So then I was like, do I go up and wait? But if I went up and wait, then that lift wouldn't have counted for powerlifting, even though I counted it personally. But I redid that lift for my third just to be sure. And got it. So,
Ellie was down to compete here as she was gone. She got her at the back. Was it 7 inches?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was. I think the hardest decision was that, like, she probably could have competed and done the weekend, but it's like, what's most important, you know, about the season? If you want to compete at Wadapalooza, or do you want to, like, showcase, like, she could have competed, but I think she would have had to take certain events a little bit conservative, and that's just not how she competes. You know, like, when she's out there, she wants to show everybody all that hard work that she's done all off season. And I think that was the same feeling about the games. Like, she got hurt halfway through, but she's progressed so much as an athlete, and she feels like she hasn't been able to show that, like, this whole past year. So I think this gearing up for the season, just like, hey, I want to hit the ground running. I want to show everybody all this work that I've put in, and that's going to start at the Open. So, like, super pumped for her.
I guess, well, you don't want to, in August, you don't want to have regrets. I should have a lot of
yeah, for sure. I mean, you don't want to be lingering with an injury throughout the whole season, you know? And I think it was a super tough decision because she technically, yes, probably could have competed and been okay, took some of the events conservative, but, like, you don't want to be doing that in competition. You just want to go out there, guns a-blazing, and kind of crush it. So, she'll be back.
Are you in, well, you've gone, after your powerlifting, and now this event with, as a team, you will have gone through the Austin without competing at all before the semifinals. Have you done that before?
No, but this is definitely the least amount that I've competed, but I think kind of like putting the powerlifting meet on the schedule, doing this for a schedule, like it gives you something to like train for, you know, and you hear everyone talk about this and that, me not competing or me doing a powerlifting meet and all those stuff. And it's definitely motivation. I think like doing my strength programming, knowing that I'm going to be doing a powerlifting meet, it's like, like I want to show up. I want to hit my numbers that I set out. I said I wanted to deadlift 600, back squat 500 and bench 300, which all would have been PRs for me. I mean, the bench technically no. Because, like, my coach always said, like, take 15 pounds off your mat for the lift because you have to pause on your chest, and then they give you an up signal. So it's definitely no bounce or anything like
that.
So,
how long is the pause?
It just depends. They look for the bar to be completely motionless, and then they give you an up signal. So it could be, like, legit, like, 1 second. It could be, like, 2 or 3. But, like, you can't just relax at the bottom and let it sit on your chest. Like, it's just, like, hovering kind of on your chest and then you press it. So that was something different. Never done that before, like even in my training leading up. So, but able to like hit that 500 mark on bent or squat, never done that before. And same thing on deadlift. So yeah, it was just super cool to kind of have that to train for. And then plus being able to throw down with these guys, like definitely don't want to be the weak link. Hopefully it's one of them, you know?
when you're, proven say like 18 months ago or so, are the little tweaks and stuff that are still more tweaks happening, still more like little 1% that you're finding, or is it getting kind of harder now to find the unturned zones that you need to get to the next level?
For sure, like there's always little things that I like try to fix myself, but the big one for me was just the volume, like sort of overmind, like, you know, instead of training, you know, like 3 hours a day for the games, it's like, they're like 8 hour days, you know? And, when I get together with the guys, from Proven, there's always stuff that we iron out for sure. Just training away at the moment.
And those 8 hour days, like, are they constant for the day?
Oh, no, lah. I think I just call it, like, it's like training for the games. It probably takes us like, you know, that amount of time to get through all the training in a day, you know? It's like this time of year, it's less. It's probably like half that.
And then I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the progress. So, are you guys them make as much sense as they have. Like, it's really made a class last year.
Yeah, I would say, because I was with them 3 years ago, and a mate from Perth reached out to me and goes, oh, there's this group brand or whatever. And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, one of those ones, you know, like a few people reaching out. But so they sent me a grip, and I tried it and I basically just told them how it was. I said, change this. And then, like, within a month, they sent it back, did exactly what I said. And I was like, oh, these guys are listening. Like, it could be good. And to see where they are now, to answer your question, is pretty crazy. Like, from Perth, Australia, which is pretty segregated itself over in Western Australia, what they're doing is pretty cool.
Yeah. They're obviously really clever, though, as well. Like, I've kind of spoken to them a bit, that they're intelligent, and the athletes they're opposed to. The podcast they sponsor are moronic. The athletes that they sponsor are incredibly wise. Willie, so when you announced that you're finishing competing as an individual, do you notice, is there any change of, like, people around you? Is everybody as supportive as Goldwater? Be like Debo and Goldwater, like, no matter what.
I think we go out.
So we lost. I think we lost audio. You guys can still hear us. We lost audio on the live stream, but it seems to be back. So if it's back, you can tell us it's back. Because I can't actually hear anything. I think it's okay, no?
Go ahead. I don't know what the deal is.
All right, well, look, we'll continue going, and then hopefully...
I don't know. Good? Okay. Apparently, the statistics department from U-Friendly Fitness says it's back. So, the competition itself, then, this week... is there a workout in particular that, as a boost, you're like, all right, just
Well, we've only tested one yesterday, and we've sort of only just started playing.
So far.
Yeah, like, right. As a team,
that's,
I think we've been
on work.
Yeah, we've been, like, messaging back and forth on, like, over the last couple of weeks on what we've tested and stuff. But I think after this, we might go play with a worm a bit more and maybe decide what one's going to be a good one for us.
Mute the mic, it turns off the Rodecaster. I don't even know if that's ever happened in the history of electronics. Anyway, we can just keep going. Alright, screw it. Well, how can you're giving me a thumbs up like you can hear me, but it's muted on this. Is there a delay though? Okay, how far? 10 minutes? 2 seconds? Perfect. Enjoy it twice. Willie, with a child on the way, then, what have you accepted that there's going to be limitations on your training and that kind of stuff? Or are you the type of person, like, have you got a set routine every day where you're like, all right, 6 a.m. I get up and I train, and that's not changing for anything?
Yes, I have to give you, if you have a good organization, especially since 1 year with. My programming is going way bigger than I thought. So it's like I need more people around me. I need to work more. And so it took me maybe 1 year to be really organized with that. And maybe last year it was made tough for me to train like as I want. So that's why it was complicated. But I made some choices, and it was good choices. So I think for next year it's going to be a good organization again, and I will have to negotiate with my wife to train maybe when I want. So I will try, but yes, I really like to train early in the morning and to work really early in the morning before my training too. And I will see, yes, but I have to negotiate with my wife to train as I want.
Yeah. You've said that a few times. I have to negotiate with my wife. We're getting a real insight into your marriage. When you release your programming and stuff and, like, put it out, were you nervous about, like, it being judged and other people seeing it as well?
No, I'm not really nervous. Programming is something I really like since I start CrossFit, so I programmed myself since 2016. And so I like to learn new things about programming. I like to discover a new way of programming, not only in CrossFit, for example, in powerlifting, I learn a lot. to try to be ready for my powerlifting competition, like Justin. And so I really like to program, and something I really want to do for the next year, and I try to share my my knowledge. So I will try to do it with all the good people I have around me in CrossFit and with programming. And we try to help lots of French athletes and European athletes to become better every day. Not only really good athletes, some athletes are just like want to train for 60 minutes per day. And,
people like me, you can say it. People
I would say people like Thibaut, but right?
Well, he was not expecting that shot to be fired. Justin, you put out some stuff as well on Beyond the Whiteboard, is that right? You put out some of your programming?
I do some workouts and then kind of just like put those out for people that want to kind of give them a shot.
Is that work as that you think, oh, this could be fun, or is that work as that I did this morning, here's what I did?
On the app, like all my programming's on there, but, or I guess Adam's programming, but you can just control which ones people see. And kind of like every week, every couple of weeks, I try to just kind of make one public for people to kind of check out, try, race me. They actually got a sweet feature on it where they have a like the app with the workout on it, and as I go through, right when I finish the row, I click it and it puts the time for the row. I do my thrusters, click it, has the time for the thrusters, do my burpees. Let's say it's a 3-round workout. You can log on and hit go, and you can race my shadow. So you'll have your phone up, and you'll be rowing, and it'll show you when I finish my row, and it'll show you when I finish the thrusters. It'll show me when I finish the burpees, and you can try to race me.
And so if I'm doing that with you, and I start pulling on the rower, and then when you finish, I say, that's physically impossible. There's something wrong with my phone. This doesn't make sense. It's clearly a glitch. I'm like emailing Bowl, being like, there's something wrong with the app.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. I mean, they have like live features on it too, where like, if let's say all three of us wanted to test one of the workouts, we could all hop on the app, push go, and then we would all see where each other are at live on the workout. Like, they could see freaking Jay hop off the rower faster than me. See freaking Willie hit 100 snatches at 220 and realize I'm on rep 3 and he's at 75.
With this kind of rivalry on Instagram between Jason Dallin and, well, Ricky Mack hasn't said much, but he's busy for the next couple of days. So on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being it's purely piss taking, I'm like, you know, it's all friendly, and then 10 being like, no, we legitimately hate them. Where are we falling with this rivalry?
Just like a freaking ping pong ball bouncing between all of them.
So if you're talking to Dallin, it's a 1. If you're talking to Jason, it slides up to your
head. Yeah, you know, just maybe bumps up a couple notches.
Who knows? But no, it's all good. It's good fun. They're good guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've always wondered what that phrase, through grit and teeth, meant. And now I literally have a visual for it.
No, it's fun. It's good.
Well, listen, I said I'd do half an hour. We're just gone over half an hour. So thank you for stopping by. There's a little QR code if you're watching. Yeah, this is useless to you guys. But if you're watching online, there's a little QR code in the corner. If you scan that, it will open up a free trial with GoWad. So you can test your mobility, see what your limitations are. And then if you're like me, you can just ignore it and then test it again another 6 months and be curious as to why it hasn't improved.
What's your GoWad score?
76, I think. I'm on
71. I think I'm 72. We're all passing students. C grade.
I think I'm like 70. I thought you guys were going to be like way higher.
Well, it's like my like shoulders are at 100, and then like post chain might be at 40.
Yeah, I think all of mine was at like 68.
Yeah.
Like across.
Hey, consistency. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what matters.
Low bar consistency. Well, thanks very much, guys. I really appreciate it.
We're live. So hopefully, if you can just keep me posted in the comments, because yesterday was a shit show with audio. So if you can just keep me posted in the comments of it, if we both, we know Josh was going to look good. If we appear okay, and if I sound good, and if he sounds good. Yeah, we don't do look like on this, but Pedro looks like a guy who would gladly pick you up from the airport. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, but it's okay that I look like that. All right, Joshua, thanks for coming on.
Pleasure.
First of all. Last time we spoke, were, I'm trying to think if your son was born yet or just about to be
maybe
born.
Maybe just born.
Just born. How's that going?
It's great. We've just reached the 4-month mark.
Still alive.
Still alive.
Job one done.
I'm doing an okay job. It's been super fun. It's been nothing like what people have told me in terms of all the horror stories. Maybe we have a very good child, but it feels like it's been pretty...
What's sleep like?
Sleep's good. He's sleeping in the evening from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. And he's been doing that since 3 months, so...
What?
Yeah, it's been
pretty... Is that the general reaction you get when you tell other parents?
Yeah, they usually hate me for saying it, but...
My kids are 4 and 2, and neither of them sleep 12 hours unbroken still.
So you're jealous of me right now.
And we have another one coming. But my assumption is that the third one then will be like an angel or whatever the male equivalent of an angel. It's still an angel, right? That just sleeps, doesn't cry, never gets sick, nothing. Because
probably
the other two are shit shows.
Yeah, it'll probably be the same. Yeah, I don't know. I think for us, we had some, I wouldn't say expectations, but you know, once David was born, we decided that, you know, we wouldn't have him in our room. So from the minute of getting home from the hospital, within 2 days, he was in his own room.
And was everything good? Like, no complications, no like worries around at the start?
There was a lot of complications in the birth.
Okay.
So we actually stayed in the hospital for 5 days, and there was a bit of a panic there. But once we got him home, it was like night and day. It was like everything just changed.
Okay.
I think once you get into your home environment, I mean, I can't speak for all parents,
yeah.
More comfortable, all that kind of stuff.
You know where shit is too.
Exactly. And look, his room is like right beside our room, so we could hear him and all that stuff. But we had him in our room for one night. We didn't sleep at all and was like, we need to find a way of being able to switch off. So
yeah,
we did that.
I always think as well, like, it's even now, if I'm somewhere and one of my kids has to sleep in the room, I don't sleep because I'm constantly like, what was that noise?
Yeah.
Like, and it'd just be them rolling over, but I'm like,
or even just breathing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Or stopping
sure.
breathing, you know, like pausing.
No,
like,
hopefully that doesn't happen.
They've got like sleep apnea. Has it had a big impact then? Because like prior to this, your sole focus was, you know, well, obviously you're focused on your marriage and stuff, but I mean, your sole focus away from your home was training, getting your training in, being the best athlete you could possibly be, offering a return on investment for like Invictus, for your teammates, for yourself, all that kind of stuff, like sponsors and stuff as well. And then you obviously can't, I assume, commit to the same amount of level of commitment now, even in, from the last 4 months. Is that like, have you had to kind of come to terms with that, or was it something that you were just like, well, I wanted to be a dad, so this is the payoff?
Yeah, a bit of both. I think training has been the hardest part for sure. I think, and it's not the hardest part because of training. I'm finding time, I'm getting into the gym. I'm just really struggling when it comes to mentally being away from my son. That's been the biggest issue so far. But in terms
is that like guilt?
It's more just fear of missing out.
Okay.
I think.
Like, he might do something and...
Yeah, like I'm...
You'll hear about it secondhand instead of seeing it.
Like, right before I came here, he started rolling over.
Oh,
and now
shit,
he's rolling
okay.
over a lot and
yeah.
I'm missing that, right? So it's more that moment. I'm coming to terms with it a lot more now. I'm also very fortunate in the sense that from the 1st of February, I moved back to Invictus. So I'll be moving back to San Diego. And once I'm in...
You're in California, though.
I'm in California.
All the time, right?
I'm 2 hours away.
Okay.
I'm in LA. But I'm moving my wife, I'm moving David, we're all moving back to San Diego. We stay there for 5 months. And when I'm in that environment and I'm training, it is just training. It's been very hard on my own because my mind can shift from training to dad life and all that kind of stuff.
You're probably having to like motivate yourself to be like, all right, I need to get up and go. Do you train in your home gym or do you go somewhere now, say currently?
Yeah, I go to an affiliate in
okay.
my area. I mean, I have a space in my garage, but I go
yeah.
to an affiliate too. And I'm predominantly training on my own.
What happens to the house then when you leave for 5 months?
You want to go stay there?
Do you just like rent it out or whatever?
No, my wife keeps trying to convince me to rent it out, but
I don't want someone else.
I don't want people in my space. I'm very
in your cabinet.
I'm very private when it comes to that, and I'm also somewhat OCD, and I'm cleaning every day, so
yeah.
I would struggle with that. But
is she from there?
No, she's from Newcastle
in England.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Her family live in California as well.
In California. My brother lives in California. We have like a bunch of family in California.
And is that all coincidence?
Yeah. We met in LA.
Are her parents from Newcastle too? This is really fucking blow my mind.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I thought she was American.
So her mother's actually from Scotland, but lives in California too.
Okay.
Her father has passed. He was from Newcastle.
Okay.
And when we met, I was visiting my brother in LA, met her in the gym.
In LA.
In LA, and then she lived 2 blocks from my brother's house.
So her parents moved to LA, or mum moved to LA.
Moved to the US. Her mum was living in Colorado initially, but okay. Now we've had the baby. She's in California.
Did she move for work or for like the mum?
Better life, land of the free, right?
God, that's really blown my mind that she's not American. Yeah. I think I've never heard her speak. I've only ever seen her stories and stuff.
Everyone always assumes that I met an American girl and moved to America. I didn't. I met an English girl and moved to America.
And did you guys settle in America because she was in America, or did you settle there because you were like, I want to live in America?
So I always had a goal of coming out to the US and being in California. And what people don't realize, in 2017, when I first got into trying to compete in CrossFit, I was following CrossFit Invictus from the UK. So I always had this big dream, this big aspiration of coming out to the US and training out of California. It was also like the mecca, right, of CrossFit, California. Well, when I got to California, it wasn't anymore. That changed. But I kind of had this dream of coming to California. I really wanted to compete at the West Coast Classic. I was meant to be competing at the West Coast Classic when that stopped for COVID and all that kind of stuff. So I had all these kind of aspirations. So I was trying to bring them to fruition, and it just turned out that, you know, I met my life partner at the same time.
That's cool. So you mentioned there that you're going back to Invictus in February.
Yes.
For what? What's the focus? What are you doing?
I'm going to go and win another gold medal.
In an affiliate? Team cup gold medal or
with a team. I'll be staying with the team. The goal is to stay with the team. I think not enough people talk about this. I know I'm a 32-year-old athlete. I'm very good on a team. I know my lane, and that's where I want to be. I think that's
do you enjoy competing individually? Like, say, if you were, would you do this as an individual? Say,
yeah, 100%. Obviously, for people that are just starting to get to know me, they think that all I've done was team. I actually only went on to a team and competed in Team Invictus because I couldn't leave the US.
Yeah.
I actually got trapped in the US. I was waiting
because you won like fittest in the UK that year.
In 2021, yeah. And I was waiting for my green card, couldn't leave, and Invictus gave me an opportunity. Then I just fell in love with, obviously I was following the program here and there anyway, and just fell in love with the team, fell in love with the crew, and just decided that that was the lane for me.
Okay. There will now follow a series of questions that you might not answer.
I'm probably not going to answer them.
Do you know who your teammates are?
I do know who my teammates are.
So Jorge's gone. He's gone to Mayhem and he's going as an individual.
Yep.
He's actually here. He's doing team this again, isn't he?
Yeah, we're actually staying over at the Intercontinental, sharing a room together.
Also, you don't hate each other.
No, we love each other. we love each other. He's my boy.
That's cool. And Devin is here. She's competing as well.
She is.
And Brittany was the other female on your team, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay. So in quarters, one quarter remains, you're saying.
Yep.
How many of the other three quarters? One quarter's definitely gone. Jorge's gone. So you've got a half. How many of the two quarters are remaining? None or one?
I will give you one. There's one staying.
Okay. Well, Brittany's gone to underdog, so she's not staying. So Devin's staying.
Yep.
Wow.
That's all I'm telling you.
Okay.
You could throw names out. I'm not going to say anything, though.
Okay.
There's going to be... So, the reason I'm not saying anything, obviously, we're actually drumming up some content at the moment. It's...
Is it going to be like a release?
We're going to do a release of it. It's going to be...
In February?
It's very hard because I would love to say it. I'm somewhat under contract where I'm not supposed saying anything just yet.
Would that be in around the time of the Open, we can expect something?
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
100%. But I will say that I have... Just like I did last year, I have full confidence that I have a team that can win the games again.
Okay. All right. I think, okay. I think I know who one of them is, but I'm not sure. You're not going to say anything.
I mean, people could throw it in the comments if they want and see if they can figure it out, but I'm still not going to say anything.
There was potentially another guest on this show this morning. Would he be? Okay, yeah. I think he is, but okay, whatever. Chandler Smith, that's what my guess was there. All right. Do you have a hand? So, like, we spoke about this the last time you were on the show, where the general rule of thumb with Invictus is that you earn your spot. It's kind of like trials almost. And then because you guys were staying together, you were kind of told, like, yeah, just run it back. It's cool.
Yeah.
This year, is it similar to that? Have you kind of got good grace where they can say, like, Josh, no problem. Like, you are you able to, like, say, I want this guy and this girl and this girl, or how does it work?
Well, I mean, without sounding arrogant, fortunately, winning the games gives you a little bit of wiggle room,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where you can say, well, I want to do it again and I want to be, you know, Invictus does a great job of putting a number of teams together. I think we actually, what I will say is I think we have 5 or 6 teams this year,
right.
3 of which I believe can make the games. The others, I'm not shooting down, but you know, some people, they just want to be a semi-final team, right?
Only
but,
spots,
yeah,
too.
Well, yeah, and you know, you want to, different people have different aspirations, but we're all under the same roof. We're all trying to do the same thing. So hopefully we're going to have another 3 teams at the games again. That's the primary goal. But I think we've got about 5 teams that are going to be competing. All of those 5 teams, they were selected by the coaches based on ranking and stuff like that and who they thought would gel well together. But I am lucky in the sense that, I mean, it might change, but for as long as I keep winning those medals, I think they'll allow me to be in the top team.
Do you have a plan of like, like say if you win this year, will you just be like, all right, I'm done? Or like, is it as easy as that to just hang it up? Like, will you be like, I need to keep going and keep?
Yeah. So
is it like a dynasty thing? Do you want like a Rich Froning type, always entering, always winning?
Well, you know, I think that would be quite nice, right? In the sense that I think what Rich Froning did for teams was amazing. And I think it would be nice to see someone come through, especially from the UK, and do something similar. So that ultimately is my goal, to continue leading teams to team championships. I had a lot of people that, you know, came to me after the CrossFit Games in 2023, and they're like, you should go individual, you should do this, you should do that. But truth of the matter is, I'm a father, I want more children, and this is not me saying that team is any easier, because actually, team comes with a lot more responsibility where you're not on your time, you're on everyone's time, right? So there's a lot of responsibility that comes with it, but it allows me to still live a life that I want to live. You know, I love being involved with brands. I love doing sponsorship shoots. I love doing all that kind of stuff. So like, I think if I went individual, it becomes a very lonely road where you have to cut back from that and focus solely on the path. It's a very challenging path, but I've managed to get good at this team thing, and I found a way that works. So why not run with it?
And so you're currently the one of the affiliate cup champions, like 1 of 4 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then is it a case of just continuing to do what you did, or is it more complicated than that because there are now 2 new teammates and because, you know, the sport changes, the programming changes, mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff? Like, do you still have like holes that you're trying to clog up?
100%.
Okay.
Well, and this games is going to be very different, right? I can wholeheartedly say typically with a CrossFit Games that is done outside, I tend to do pretty well. I like outdoors events. I've always liked triathlons, running, all that kind of stuff. And now 95% of the games is going to be indoors. So what challenges is that going to throw at us, right? I think we could see a lot of classical CrossFit coming back, 4-person synchro chest to bar, which becomes very gray. Like, we could see a lot more of that type of stuff. So there's definitely a lot of skills that are going to have to be worked on there. But when you're a CrossFit athlete, you do CrossFit because you believe you can do everything. So that will always be the primary goal. Just continue to do as much as possible. And I think we have a very good methodology at CrossFit Invictus. We have a good sense of unity. We know how to pick out our holes and work on them. We're very open and honest with each other, with our coaches. So we're always adapting, you know?
Is it hard? Like, so there's 5 teams. Is it hard to keep that a positive training environment? Like, is there a conscious effort, do you feel, from the coaches there and the people that work there to make sure that like nobody's pissing anyone else off? Or is it easy because you're all have this kind of shared goal or like similar goal, I guess?
Well, typically it's usually me pissing someone off because I talk shit all the time. Even if I'm losing, I'll still talk shit. But I think, you know, when you're managing 5 teams, each consisting of 4 people with different personalities, I think that is tough. And last year was very tough on our coach Holden because it was one coach predominantly. We had CJ stepping in here and there, and we had a few others, but predominantly it was Holden. So he had to try and hold it together, and it was a very tough job. This year, we've got a few others. We've actually got athletes stepping up and helping out. You know, you mentioned the name. Chandler is stepping up a little bit as a coach and helping out with various people. He's helping some individuals. He's helping some teams. Sam Dancer's coming back in. He's helping as well. So we're trying to formulate a way where the athletes that have been there for a little bit of time can step up and help and support the crew, so those younger athletes can come up through the rankings too.
You set up a new Instagram page there recently,
Dad's Club.
Okay, what's the purpose of that?
So the purpose of Dad's Club is so when David was born, my wife was constantly finding content and products and all this cool stuff for her as a mother that she could use with her child.
Yeah.
And I was like, where is all of that for me? Everything I was reading was content that was pretty much put out by women, which is great content, but it wasn't in the verbiage that really I could understand. My wife was dissecting it for me and trying to explain it to me. So I had this idea of creating a club, which is for dads, but you know, anyone can be part. It's not like, oh, because you're not a dad. I mean, you can still learn and gain education from it. At the moment, I'm just putting out content, but I'm trying to develop. I'm looking into investors and all that kind of stuff. I've got a deck built out of what I want to create. But the sole purpose is, imagine a multi-brand retailer that has its own brand within it. Kind of like, I mean, I'm sure we can talk about these guys too, because a lot of things have changed. I don't know a lot about it, but kind of like Wit in sport, right?
Yeah.
But for dads. So imagine you go to this website and you've got all this product that dads can use. So in terms of like cribs, baby carriers, all of that kind of stuff. Then there's information where you can learn about, you know, your child aging through the stages each month that they grow up. There's sports stuff on there. There's a community. So it's basically a way of bringing fathers together. I truly believe fathers of the 21st century right now are the best that they've ever been. They're a lot more hands-on. No one's afraid to change a diaper anymore. Like, but they're not getting the content that they need to help support that. So my primary goal is to do that, but also create a space where you can shop and have some fun. And there's going to be sports on the website and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, it's really like a safe space for dads to kind of go and shop and hang out.
That's cool. You mentioned brands and retail and stuff there. Obviously, as part of your, I guess, lifestyle or whatever, you, in order to be able to have training as your focus when you move back in February, you obviously need support from brands and you need like deals and business stuff going on, or else you're going to be going back and scrambling, trying to figure out a way to pay your rent or whatever while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed for you with being a successful team athlete and like being a recognized name in team sport? Has that become easier or has it just changed? Because I guess the main focus for a lot of people, and like no disrespect when I say this, but like a lot of people see CrossFit and they see the individual sport and they see, oh, that's a marketable opportunity, and they see the team sport. And historically, anyway, there was kind of a thing of like, well, if you're not Rich Froning, nobody gives a shit.
Mm-hmm.
So is it hard as a team athlete to get the kind of deals that you need?
No. No, I don't think that's true. I think where people mess up is they don't know what they're offering a brand. We spoke briefly a little bit about this, and a lot of people, they sign a deal and think that this deal is going to bring them money and they're just going to train for a living. Whether you're an individual or a team athlete, you have to offer something, whether that be content, whether that be sales, whether that be something that's going to benefit the brand. I think where a lot of people go wrong is they're not offering a service. For me, my whole model, so before I was a CrossFit athlete, I was a personal shopper. I used to dress people for a living. So I had to offer a service. So my whole thing is offering a service to brands, working with brands where I can deliver good content, where I can sell their product without directly being a salesperson by being honest and open. Like for me, my whole ethos is working with brands that I 100% use. I don't sign a deal, no matter how much money it's going to bring me, unless I believe in it and I use it. That brings authenticity and it brings an easy avenue for me to promote products to my people, anyone that follows me, right? So I don't think it's harder when you're on a team. I think it's harder when you don't know how to pivot yourself to offer a service to a brand. I've been very fortunate that with great accomplishment comes great reward. This is going to be my best year yet as far as sponsorship goes. I'm working with some of the best brands in the business. I've always been someone that has been a go-getter and reaching out. I'm constantly like, if I'm taking a product, I want to work with the brand. So I'm going to do everything I can. For instance, these glasses that I have on my head, Gouda, I was working with them 3 years before I signed a deal. I signed a deal this year, right? So you do need to put some groundwork in, but you also need to prove your worth. And I think there's always opportunity there for people as long as they're showing that they can do that. So whether you're an individual or a team athlete, you have to offer something. And then the reward will come. And I'm very fortunate where this year, I don't think there would have been much difference if I was an individual or a team athlete because I'm offering a service.
Yeah, it's probably easier when you got the gold around your neck too.
It helps. And then also doing things that like, it's one thing being like, oh, I'm a CrossFit athlete and I'm just going to go and do CrossFit. But what about other markets? You know, like I play in pickleball tournaments. I qualified for USA Nationals in triathlons. I've done all these other things so I can reach a bigger network and I can reach other people. not, and that doesn't have to typically be a crossover in followers, right? Initially, a lot of people are like, well, how many follow you? How many people follow you? I think it's more a case of how many communities are you connected with? Like, are you doing events? You know, I'm doing a Puma event tonight. I'm doing a Represent event tomorrow. Like, how many people can you connect with? And how many people can you show that you believe in these brands? Whether you have them as followers or not, you can sell in person or online, but you have to sell a service. You have to sell a product.
Yeah. Does that add any pressure for you then of like, you're saying it's going to be your biggest year and you won gold last year. So does it add pressure to like, well, shit, if it's my biggest year, I need to win gold again? Or do you see the two things, the performance side of it and the kind of service side of it that you're talking about as totally separate entities?
Completely separate.
Okay.
I mean, they coincide, right? Like, so if you win gold or if you're performing well as a team, you're seen more, you sell more, essentially, whether that be the product or your personality or whatever that may be. But for me, the goal, first and foremost, is to be the best that I can be, to do what I believe in, and then to sell product, right? So to be the best that I can be, I've got to try and win the CrossFit Games, you know, and then everything else comes after that.
Were you worried at all when they were talking about the changes? Like, would you be annoyed if they said, all right, yeah, we're going to do the CrossFit Games in Texas, and individuals, you're going to be on the 5th to the 11th of August, and teams, you're going to be in, like, October?
Yeah, I think, well, personally, I think that'd be a shame, because I think teams are now currently on the uptick, right? From Froning stepping in and creating mayhem and, you know, the way things are changing, I think the team sport is on the rise. I think it has a lot more potential. I think it can go a lot further. I think separating the two would create a disconnect. And I don't think that would be the right idea. I also think that when you think about sport typically, apart from individual sports like tennis and whatnot, you watch football, you watch soccer, all of these kind of sports that you watch, they're exciting when you watch a team go at it. But it's because it's formulated in a way where you can visually see it and it makes sense. We've got to get there as well in CrossFit, right?
So you don't think it's there?
I don't think it's there in the sense that, like, my mom can't switch on the TV and understand wholeheartedly what's happening in teams unless I explain it to her.
Yeah.
She's come to the games twice now, and I think she gets excited. She's actually most excited by watching Roman Krennikov, not even me, which is crazy. So, a great athlete, but I would like my mom to support. I would like my mom to support me. She's there for Roman. She has like a Roman head and all this stuff. I'm like, what are you doing? So when she turns on the TV, I want her to be able to look at it and go, I understand that, right? And I think that's where we need to still get to, which, may I add, this could help. 95% indoors, they can create a floor that visually you can see, you're in an arena, all that kind of stuff. It might help. So let's see. But I think separating the two, I don't think that'd be a good move. I think let's keep growing the team sport. And selfishly, look, I'm in the team sport, so I want to support it. But I do genuinely think it's exciting. I think when you see athletes, you know, that are transitioning over, Noah Olsen's transitioning over into team, you're going to have these athletes transition over and try and, you know, do something in teams. You might then find athletes come through like myself where I'm like, I'm a team athlete. I want to support teams, you know, so.
Does it frustrate you when you hear people saying like that Noah Olsen moving to team is him retiring? You know, like, does it frustrate you when people say that it's a step down for the elite individual athletes to move to team is essentially retirement?
No, I mean, when you look at, say, tennis players that play individual and then go into doubles to round out their weekend, some might say, well, the individual is the pinnacle and the doubles is not so much, but I don't think the tennis player looks at it like that.
Yeah.
So for us, I don't think we look at it like that. Like, I think Noah looks at this like a new challenge. He's done 10 years in the sport of CrossFit as an individual. Let me try out a new challenge. And I think you'll find a lot of athletes will come into teams and, you know, I think they're going to be a great team completely, but a lot of people are going to come into teams with this individual mindset and realize it's actually a very different sport to the individual sport. I see great athletes, pound for pound, that are individuals that transition into team, and we still manage to win. Were we the best individual athletes? Probably not. But there's something special about communication and relationships and understanding. And, you know, when one person's making a call and they get tired and you can switch like that without even thinking about it, these things you've got to learn. They take time to learn.
Another thing that we talked about when you're on the show and it gained a bit of traction at the time was like the wheels kind of wobbled and almost fell off about like 2 weeks before the games or whatever, where there was like some infighting, some arguments, some like sounded like just miscommunication, yep, basically, and misalignment. Did that at all play a part for you, or maybe you don't want to speak for her, but for you or for Devin coming back, like, was there any kind of reluctance of like, oh, fucking hell, like, do I want to go through that again?
No, because first and foremost, we had the conversation. I'm like an open book, me personally. I will always, if there's something on my mind, if I think you're a prick, I'm going to tell you a prick, right? That's just how I am. And then I might...
You said it like 5 minutes ago.
And then I might actually say sorry afterwards and I was wrong, right? But whatever I'm thinking in the moment, if it feels genuine for me, I'm gonna air it, right? And I think that's what allows me to be open and transparent. I did the same thing with Dev. We actually realized coming back and having a conversation that we have she's like my sister. We have a great relationship. And I think there were some team dynamics that we had to work through in 2023. And what I was talking about when it comes to communication, luckily we had a 2-year rapport with each other that we could bounce back, come to the games and still pull it off. So we've had conversations since then. We've opened up to each other. I have the utmost respect for Dev. I actually think Dev is an exceptional athlete. She was an incredible team athlete. I think she is the best or one of the best female team athletes out there. And maybe people don't give her enough credit for that. So I think it's going to be super exciting to see what she comes and does with this new team this year.
Does your role change now that it's only you and her left from the previous team? Like, are you like, there seemed to be kind of like a shared leadership in Madison. I remember asking you after one of the events and you were like, no, it's not really one person. Different people step up at different moments and so on. So, does that change this year? Like, do you feel more responsibility as an elder statesman on the team kind of?
No, I mean, obviously now, like at Invictus, I am one of the OGs, which is weird because I haven't been there a huge amount of time. But, you know, obviously I've been doing it for a little while with them. I still want the same thing with this new team. So if there's an event where maybe I'm better leading, I'll lead. If there's an event where one of the others are better at leading, they'll lead. And I think if you can create a team like that where there's kind of like, yeah, when it comes down to like the definitive call, one person has to make the call and you all need to accept it. But someone's call might be better than the other. So the primary goal is to make sure that we all have our input and we all lead the team. Because at the end of the day, we all want to go home with a gold medal. So we have to all have the input for it.
You mentioned like sponsors and stuff. And like some of your sponsors are like a bit off-piste compared to like the regular brands that you see in the CrossFit space. Like Puma, I classify Puma as kind of an outlier within CrossFit. Like they're a huge brand globally, whatever. Represent, same thing. Like kind of like you were kind of their introduction into CrossFit almost. Like Rapid Rings, you were the first person I saw talking about them as well. Is that like, do you consciously do that? Do you consciously try and find
the best brands
not the nobles, yeah. Not the ones that are already in it?
Well,
what do you call them? Extrinsic or something?
So the brands that I work with, I wholeheartedly believe are the best brands. And I believe the product that they create is exceptional, and that's why I want to work with them. I do definitely seek the newer brands in the space, but I also am not the type of guy, just because there's a newer brand coming, I'm not going to jump ship. For instance, before I moved to Represent, which is the best fit for me, working with 247 in terms of product, clothing, all that stuff, really aligns with where I am as a 32-year-old athlete and how I want to move forward in fashion and stuff like that. So, but moving to them, I was with Whip Fitness for 5 years. So it was a tough call. It was like, do I want to move? But then I had to recognize what's going to take me to that next step. Like, I'm growing as an athlete. Is that brand growing with me? And I felt there was a little bit of a disconnect. Still a great brand. I mean, I know they're shifting out now, but I made the move to...
Bankrupt. You can say it. Bankrupt.
To be honest with you, I don't even know what happened. I have no idea. Obviously, yeah. I made the move before I knew any of this. Yeah, like I stepped to Represent because I really believe they were offering something new and special. And I love what they were doing with the community, their run clubs, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's similar vibe to like LSKD kind of. It's like that streetwear and fitness.
But better. Sorry.
I disagree. I'm sponsored by LSKD, so I disagree.
No, look, there's many great brands in the space. I'm not gonna shit on anyone, but I think what Represent do is really cool. They're very forward thinking. Like 247 is their sport line, but the product that they have initially was kind of luxury streetwear. So it creates this cool connection.
What's the name of the guy that owns it?
George.
Heaton, isn't it?
Yeah. George and his brother Michael.
Okay, yeah.
So they both own it. Again, great guys. They're also, respectfully, athletes themselves, you know. I think George just got ready for like a men's health cover and did an insane physique change. And we've trained together. And I think it's cool to have people that are like at the top of their brand and they're still doing that stuff. But then also similarly, you know, working with Puma as another brand, they, in my opinion, are one of the best brands when it comes to footwear. And I signed a footwear deal because I really believe in what they do. When you think of like their runners and all of that kind of stuff, it's exceptional. So it only makes sense that they can break into the CrossFit space. I mean, they've now created this new Puma Fuse 3.0, which in my opinion is the best shoe. There's a new silhouette where they've created like a square on the heel, which no one's seen before, which is super fun. So yeah, picking out brands like that. Same with, you know, Rapid Rings over here. when I saw Rapid Rings, I actually hit them up constantly trying to work with them. You know, it took a little bit of time and we negotiated and we found a way of working together because I believe in the functionality of their rings. I believe they have something to offer to gyms.
Oh.
Have we lost it?
I think we...
We timed out.
I can just change my camera. Hang on. Not sure what's happening. Okay. Well, we're on this now.
We're back. There we go.
We don't look as good, but we're still here.
So, you know, with Rapid Rings, I saw that they offered something which I thought was exceptional. It's a ring that cleans up your time in the gym. Now, prior to being an athlete, I was a coach, and one of my biggest pet peeves in the gym was setting up rings, all the messiness of them. You don't have that. So for me, I was like, well, that makes sense to work with a brand like that, you know?
Yeah. Elisa says, you can tell Joshua's going place by the way he speaks outside of just CrossFit. Yeah, like, I think it's...
Thank you.
I'm really struggling to remember the word I'm trying to think of about, say, like Garmin, like brands that aren't in CrossFit but that come in. There's a word that describes us. It's not extrinsic, but it's like that.
But also as well, like, think of it like this. How do we grow the sport of CrossFit? Well, we don't grow it by just constantly working with those same brands that are in the business. We need to bring new people in. Yeah. You know, I'm also someone, I know CrossFit might hate me for saying this, there's this whole war on soda. Let's bring in Coca-Cola. Let's bring in these brands. Because at the end of the day, I think there's difference between competition and getting athletes paid and health and fitness.
Yeah.
Right? Like when you look at other elite sports, no one that plays flag football is like, I'm going to make it to the NFL. They go out and play with their buddies and have some fun. It can be the same in CrossFit. We can all have fun in the communities, but there is an elite side to it.
Yeah.
And we need those elite brands to help bring more money into the sport.
Yeah, I'm not
that's
sure.
That's a whole other conversation.
I'm not sure Coca-Cola is the answer. But yeah, that's a bigger point.
That's a whole other conversation. I only say that because I love Diet Coke.
But I think as well, I've heard a lot of people say that, like, if you're talking about health and fitness, that athletes aren't healthy. That, like, they have to eat different things. They have to, because of the amount of calories they have to consume, because of the way they have to live.
But
their
why isn't a can of Coke healthy?
Because it's sugar.
It's moderation, right? If you're constantly drinking Coca-Cola over and over again, maybe not. But what's to say? I mean, did you go and grab a donut sometimes, or do you like we all do these things? I think we just try and pretend we don't, but we do, right? And I think it's okay to say. I think where we're having a big problem right now in health and fitness in general, not just CrossFit, is there's this whole play on like you can only do this. Well, there's no such thing as good or bad foods. It's just moderation. It's how you handle it. And I think we should be educating people on like it's okay to have that, but what else are you doing to combat it? You know, like, because, look, I'm an athlete. I love competing at the highest level. If you said to me, you can't eat chocolate almonds ever again, I'd probably say, but then I can't be an athlete because I love it that much.
Yeah.
You're like, what the hell are you talking
about
right now?
I just, like, really disagree. But, yeah, no, I take your point. Like, it's just different. I suppose my thing is, like, especially since recently, as close as I can, sticking to the 100 words of, like, do you know, like, no sugar, no, you know what I mean? Like,
and how long are you going to be able to do that for? The rest of your life? You're going to fall off.
I don't know. I'm doing pretty well at the minute. But yeah, I think, I don't know. I just
That's not me saying that you shouldn't, and you shouldn't aspire to that. But what I'm saying is what we shouldn't do is completely shut down this idea that we like other things too.
Yeah.
Again, you just need to, and I'm sure people, maybe this is a toxic way of saying it, and there's going to be, you know, therapists and stuff out there that don't like me saying this, but I'm like, if I'm going to eat something that I know is maybe not the best thing to eat, I'm going to work a little harder so that I can enjoy that too, because I want to look a certain way, I want to feel a certain way. So whereas I might say I'm going to have a Diet Coke, there's going to be a lot of other things that I'll be avoiding, right? So it's just, there's just, what I'm trying to say is we should never completely overlook this idea of bringing in these big other brands that can help propel the sport into the next thing.
Yeah.
That's because as an athlete, I want to see the sport on the biggest platform possible.
Yeah, I guess it's similar, I guess, to like when Reign of Monster came in and everyone's like, oh, Jesus. But it's like, it is separate. The games are separate from.
And then look what happens. The brand ends up adapting.
Yeah.
They start bringing out these, you know, zero calorie drinks and zero sugar and all that because they adapt to the sport. So we bring a new brand in, they will adapt to our sport too.
Yeah. Was there any temptation for you to find another couple of guys and do a team this weekend?
So we did have a team. The team had a slight change. I was on a team with Jorge. He had a very good opportunity, and I told him to run with it. you know, we're very close with each other. We talk all the time. This opportunity that came up, he's now on a team with Roman Krennikov. He's moved to Mayhem. I thought it'd be a good look for him to put the work in for Mayhem. The same thing when I moved to Invictus, the first competition I did was Waterpalooza with Invictus, right? It was me showing my commitment to Invictus. I would do that in, I would do that team at Waterpalooza. So I said the same thing to him. We had this thing lined up, and I said, look, run with Mayhem, because at the end of the day, that's where you're going to be for this year. Create a good rapport and move with it, you know, so.
And you weren't tempted to find two other guys, though?
There was a...
I heard a rumor.
Which was?
That it was like, that maybe you and Hunter and someone else were going to do the team. Was that ever on the table or no?
I would have loved to have done that. I thought that would have been super
fun. He's here
fun.
As well, right?
Yeah, like yeah. Doing a represent team. Maybe there's something we could pull off, bringing Hunter McIntyre.
So Chris Harris is representing. Chris,
yeah, to be honest, I did reach out to Chris Harris and he was like, nah, dude, I'm not doing that.
It's so, like, yeah, I'm relaxing in Miami.
Sorry, Chris, I put you on blast there. But yeah, so I did reach out and he said no. But I would love to do a team competition with Hunter McIntyre. Again, bringing people like Hunter McIntyre into the sport and doing
you're,
something.
You're doing, you do or you're doing a Hyrox?
So I've done many Hyrox events.
Are you doing
events.
A paired one with someone?
I did a paired with Sam Dancer.
How did that go?
It went pretty well. I think we finished it in 58 minutes.
Okay, yeah. Anything under an hour is like
good. Yeah, yeah. It was good. I think we could have done better. We went there and we was having a good time. I'm definitely going to dabble in more of those type of races. I love that stuff. And again, it's bridging the gap between like functional fitness and this hybrid style athlete. I think if we can get more runners to see the benefit of strength work and more strength athletes to see the benefit of running, we're going to create a much healthier world. And that's
what
I'm
saying. Outlift the runners and outrun the lifters.
Yeah.
CrossFit,
yeah. And I tell you what, Hyrox is fucking hot. Sorry, it's very hard. Yeah. It's very hard, especially if you really push. So I love things like Hyrox, Spartans, Tough Mudders. Look, anything that gets you up off the couch, whether it be CrossFit or going for a walk, I think is great for anyone. And for me, I'm all about just promoting movement. And I'll always be that way. Whether I'm an athlete, an influencer, whoever I'm trying to be, I will always promote movement, because I also saw the negative side prior to movement of how unhealthy I was mentally before I came into CrossFit. And how much better I feel now as a human being, as an athlete, as a father, as a husband. My whole aura has just changed by being active. And, you know, some people are, you know, they promote getting the mind right and then getting the body right. For me, I did stuff that sucked. I put myself through so much suffering that my mind gained more clarity. And that, there's no secret to when you see people like David Goggins and Hunter McIntyre and all these, you know, elite level athletes talking the talk, because they're really doing it,
yeah.
You know?
Okay, well, I think that's it. Thank you very much. Congrats on your previous season and your family and stuff, and best luck with your current season. And I'm assuming you just win gold and then have another kid, and then win gold and have another kid.
That's pretty much the goal. It's kind of funny. I think
All right, Amber, I've got the gold, now it's your turn.
Look, I'm not going to lie. Even this year, last year, I was like, okay, when you win gold, you kind of won, right? But then you're like, well, when you win gold, you kind of want to win it again.
Yeah.
And then if we win it again, I'll want to win it again. If we didn't win it, I'd want to win another one. So it never ends. Same with kids. I'll always be chasing more kids. So
yeah, cool. Thanks, man.
Appreciate it, bro.
Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.